This is the third Sunday in Lent. Please remain after Mass today for an important announcement by Father Ward. There will be a few minutes between the Mass and when Father starts for people to use the restroom if they need. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today, after Father's talk. We will not have benediction this evening. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Joseph. There is a high Mass at 9 in the morning, and we will have the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 in the evening. The Sunday in Lent takes precedence over the feast of St. Joseph, which is normally March 19th. But the feast of St. Joseph is so great that it is transferred. It is not neglected. Tuesday, the Mass is at 8:30, followed by the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. Wednesday, we resume the talks on the Catholic faith, and that will be from 6:45 to 7:45 in the hall. We will be continuing the instructions from the Baltimore Catechism number 3 with lessons 25 and 26 explaining confirmation and the Holy Eucharist. On this Friday, we will not have Stations of the Cross, nor benediction, nor confessions, because the next day, which is Saturday, is the Feast of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and there will be confessions before that Mass, and that's a high Mass at 9 o'clock, and there will be confessions between 8:15 and 8:45. There will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this Saturday at 6 p.m., so there will not be any confessions after the Mass or in the evening. That's the normal Saturday confession schedule. It will not take place. There will just be Mass, confession before the High Mass. Next Sunday is Laetare Sunday, and the Mass is at 8 in the morning. But it is the time that we have the bake sale in the hall after Mass, which is sponsored by Servants of the Holy Family. So please bring your favorite baked foods and price them. The feast this week, of course, tomorrow is St. Joseph. Tuesday is the feast of St. Benedict, which is just commemorated. Friday is the feast of St. Gabriel the Archangel, who, of course, ushers in the Feast of the Annunciation on Saturday. They're all commemorated because of Lent, except for St. Joseph and the Annunciation. So, many announcements today. First, please remain after Mass. There'll be a slight delay between the Mass and Father's announcement. There will be the blessing of articles after that. We do not have benediction tonight because of the feast tomorrow, which is at 9 o'clock, the Mass, and benediction at 6. Tuesday, the Mass at 8:30. That's a time change, and the cleaning of the chapel takes place after that. Wednesday is the talk on the faith in the hall. Friday, there's nothing scheduled because Saturday is the Feast of the Annunciation, and next week is Laetare Sunday, so please bring your best for that bake sale. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be imitators of God as very dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and delivered himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as become saints, or obscenity, or foolish talk, or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this and understand, that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words, for because of these things The wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke chapter 11, verses 14 to 28. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of devils, who casts out devils." And others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away all his weapons that he relied upon and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of rest, and finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house which I left.' And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first." Now it came to pass, as he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the breasts that nursed thee." But he said, "Rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Every Mass in the liturgical year is a beautiful thing and an opportunity for us to learn from our Holy Mother, the Church, inspired by the Holy Ghost, to teach us the important truths to get us to heaven. And this Mass, just reflecting on one of the early sermons, this Mass was called the Mass of Eyes, because the intro begins, "Our eyes look up to you, O Lord," and then the gradual tract keep telling us about the eyes. You think of that. This Mass has many themes to it, but the one is that we will be freed. We will overcome evil. And the introit tells us, "We look up to you, O Lord. We lift up our eyes to you because you have freed us. You have delivered us from the snare of the enemy." And then it goes on to say, "Lord, you then turn your eyes upon us because we are poor and alone. We cannot do anything of our own. We need you." And our Lord says, "I will help you." So that's the theme of this Mass, especially as we're in Lent and Is this our last Lent? Don't scoff at that so quickly. How many were celebrating or participating in Lent last year who are no longer with us? I'm thinking of it as my last Lent. I have no premonitions that it is, I'm just saying. We heard the story yesterday of a 15 and a 16-year-old a couple of weeks ago found dead. Death comes at any time. Make the most of the Lent we're in. And we know that God will help us, that we will overcome with his help. When he comes in the end, the second coming, he will destroy by fire this creation for a new one. When he came the first time, he did not do that. He came and left everything as it was, but he gave the means and the ability and the power for all of us to make a change. That is the Mass and the sacraments and his holy teachings, the good morals that he gives us. So that we, despite all of our difficulties, if we tap into what our Lord has given us, we will be saved. We will be sanctified. We will sanctify the world. And we all have problems. And it's during Lent, often they become more acute for us because we are made to feel our own weakness because we try to do good. We try to fast. We try to abstain. And all of a sudden, it seems like we're always hungry. It seems like we need meat all the time to keep our strength up. The devil attacks us more during Lent. And we try to be faithful to our promises and to the penances that we want to have and follow. And we've been given many ideas. But the secret to all of our problems, no matter who we are, no matter what type of person, what class of person we are, children, adults, newlyweds, priests, old people, no matter what the topic is that bothers us, problems in our family, problems with our health, facing death, problems at work, problems with people, problems with all of the vices that we are subjected to. Do you know that Lent talks about every one of the things I just mentioned? I cannot even list all of the secrets that Lent is giving the answers for. Do you know that? The priests are told to cry out between the altar and the vestibule, to cry out, "Spare, O Lord, spare thy people, lest the enemy mock them and harass them and persecute them." And what if God, hearing that, turns and instead of a curse, gives a blessing? Sound familiar? Those are the first words we heard on Ash Wednesday. But not only the priests were called to action, but that's why we said every class of person, it said there in the same epistle, call all the children, call all the adults, call all the newlyweds, call all the old people, and have them come to the temple and pray. That was just the opening. Then the Mass texts begin to tell us how to fast, how to give alms, how to pray. That is why one of the ideas at the beginning of Lent was try to go to the Mass more often, to receive the message and the strength to put it into work. We say now, because who can come to Mass every day? But who can read the Mass texts every day? Every day in Lent has its own Mass. If you read the Mass texts, you will read about the king facing death. He was a good king, but the prophet came to him and said, make an accounting of yourself. You are going to die. And he turned his face in his bed to the wall and he said, God, please spare me. And then the prophet on the spot said, God has heard your prayer. And he lived another 15 years doing God's work. All throughout Lent, we have already learned many lessons. The terrible evil of envy. We already know before Lent, we were told the story of Cain and Abel, how the first murder was because of that sin of envy. The other day we heard all about how that sin caused the brothers of Joseph the patriarch. They wanted to kill him. One brother felt that was too much. But they ended up sending him into slavery. You know the rest of the story. And the gospel, the same exact words as those brothers of Joseph, because Joseph the patriarch prefigures Saint Joseph, but it also prefigures our Lord. Because in that Mass, you hear those brothers of Joseph, the tribes of Israel, the nation of Israel, calling out to that type of our Lord and saying, here comes the dreamer. Let us kill him. And in the gospel, our Lord tells the story of those people who were put in charge of his vineyard. And he sent messengers, and they were being killed and abused. And then the owner says, I will send my son. They will respect him. And as he comes, those people in charge of the vineyard saw him and said, here comes the heir. Let us kill him. They use the same words. The sin of envy, how much is that permeating us? How much is it affecting this gospel? Here is our Lord with an apparent, clear miracle. And then these Pharisees and scribes, that's what the other synoptics tell us, go through the crowd quietly spreading this little blasphemous lie that, oh, this was, they could not deny the miracle. So they had to undo it because they were so prejudiced against our Lord. And our Lord says he saw their thoughts, because they didn't say it openly as most evil people are. The devil likes to circulate in the dark. So he exposed them. Our Lord exposed them. And just as we learned right at the beginning, our Lord's first public actions, not part of his private life when he was 12, it says that they marveled at him, at his understanding and his questions. And you see his two powerful questions today in the gospel. After this blasphemous remark that he is the devil himself, that's what they're saying. God is the devil. And then our Lord, many times in the gospel, he would not waste time on their heckling. But this time he did, because he didn't want them to undo the lesson he had just given everybody. That is, that when he cast out the devil, this man was possessed. So he showed his power by throwing the devil out. And because the devil was there, he had left this man unable to speak or to hear. which are tied anyway. If you can't hear, you're not going to be able to speak. You don't know what the sounds are. And so our Lord cast them out. He didn't want this miracle to be undone. And then he went logically through, and he said, if we take your line of argument, then that means the kingdom of the devil cannot stand, because he'd be fighting against himself. That's absurd, isn't it? As he asked them. And then he said, okay, wait, you've already witnessed, you witnessed your own people being able to cast out devils. That was, God would allow that. And he said, if your own, you and your own children can cast out devils, why can't I? We say it's an ad hominem argument. Then our Lord went on to talk about the fact we cannot be fence sitters. We have to be 100%. And he told how the devil, who had controlled things since the fall of Adam, thought he had control of his little court. He had it well armed. But then one stronger than he came. That's our Lord. He cast him out. And the person, that house was made clean and everything, and it was safe as long as they didn't sit on the fence and be indifferent. Because our Lord said, either you are with me or against me. Either you gather with me or you'll be scattered. And he says that the devil, although he's been cast out, for those who are not following our Lord's example, the devil gathers his forces and comes back and makes the case, the situation of that person, worse than it was in the beginning. Our Lord's saying, let him who hears understand. What happened to the Jews can happen to us. And unless we forget this, of course, this, the end of this gospel account says, as you heard, that someone in the crowd, after watching this, you have to, the drama of it. Here our Lord does this tremendous miracle. The enemy starts to turn the crowd, and then he faces them directly. He just exposes them for what they are, not in any fear at all. And some woman, overwhelmed by this, cries out, "You must have had a great mother." And he said, yes, but not just because she was my natural mother, but because she heard the word of God and she kept it. Reinforcing the fact that we are hearing the words of God and we cannot neglect them. We are, of course, frustrated in we cannot express in any way what are the great mysteries of this Mass. So we have to rely on God's help and grace to give you these lessons through your prayer and your union with the Mass. But what we are encouraging you to do is to read the Mass texts for every day of Lent. No matter what penances you're already doing, this one will be as a medicine for your soul. As we can't even touch on all the lessons. Just talking about the family thing. Do you know, parents, you better be careful not to have favorites among your children. You better be careful never to counsel them to do something wrong. Where did we learn that? Yesterday. Rebecca had the twin sons. She liked the one more than the other. Told him how he should get the blessing from the father. And appearance-wise, it all seemed to work out. But did it really? No. Because she had him lie. And what happened to him? He had to go into exile for 20 years of hard labor. And Rebecca, the mother, never saw him again. That's just one tiny lesson from one Mass. We just give these to you because already all of Lent has given these lessons to us. How to pray, how Mordecai, the king, had put out a proclamation to destroy the Jews. And he prayed, and God said he changed his mind. And the instigator of that proclamation himself was executed. What's coming up this week? What secrets of the spiritual life are being given to us? Don't waste them. Don't sit on the fence. So we cannot go on, except we just have to tell you this. This Mass, which the stational church is St. Lawrence outside the walls, is a... can't go into all that. But this was the first station where those main people with the penitents, and we all fit into that category, the catechumens were called to this stational church for the first scrutiny, testing them, their knowledge, and testing their moral practices to see if they were on the road to baptism. Were they ready for the Easter Vigil? Were they going to hear the words and put them into effect? Light of Christ, Deo gratias. Because St. Paul tells us at this Mass, we were children of the darkness, but not anymore. We have seen the light. We have to put aside all these evil things. We're heading towards the Easter Vigil. We are the catechumens. We are being scrutinized. We have to change. Now, this particular week of Lent is, it's leading up to next Sunday, which is the midpoint in Lent, which is always Lectare Sunday, a break. So we don't lessen any of our Lenten practices, but you see, we have St. Joseph coming, and then we have the Annunciation coming. Little bits of a break. And so we just add here in conclusion those words of St. Paul in the Epistle, that in place of all these bad things, even just foolish, wasteful talk, gossip and everything else, another lesson we can learn from Lent, he says, instead of those things, why not thanksgiving? Why not thanksgiving tomorrow? Because of all that St. Joseph has done for us. And we say us because you are the recipients of his influence. As he has blessed our community, that those blessings have come down to you. You are cared for by the Holy Family. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Tomorrow is a great day. So we don't have stations to come to. Everyone's been very good coming to stations. How about coming to the Mass tomorrow? More importantly, really, what about the Mass on Saturday, the day people are usually off from work? Because where would we be if the Blessed Virgin Mary did not say, be it done unto me according to thy word? We wouldn't be here. There'd be no church. There'd be no incarnation. There'd be no redemption. Is that not enough reason to be thankful? So we encourage everyone to do that this week and to take on that practice of reading the Mass text. And again, another thing we've spoken about in the past, have Masses offered. If we can't attend Masses all the time, have Masses offered. Have the Mass offered for all of your needs. Don't forget that people have died. But have a Mass that I overcome this particular vice, my predominant fault, which we... is it? Has anyone tried that? Have you thought, since Septuagesima, of the thing that comes to your mind most of the time during the day? We have. That's usually our predominant fault. A Mass to free us from that. The Mass is our greatest weapon against the devil. That's why he attacks it so much. That's why he attacks the priests so much. So at this Mass, let's renew our intentions that we started Lent with and not forget it could be our last Lent. May God bless you.